is, you know, whatever you decide or don't want to, is okay with us. But whatever you donate for when you take it, it goes into the church, okay? Not the Guatemala mission. It will go into the church because we already gave to Guatemala missions. And so just want to let you know that. A few weeks ago, I gave a message on, it was titled Divine Reset. Do you guys remember? Nod your head. It was only like, I think, 2 weeks ago. Divine Reset. And I want to continue. Today, the title is Reset in the Word. Okay? Reset in the Word. And the main text is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And this is the NLT version. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses the Bible to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And God's people said, you know, Jesus said John chapter 17, he says, sanctify them, the disciples, sanctify them by the truth. Okay? Sanctify them by the truth. And Jesus said, your word, the scripture, the Bible, is truth. Okay? Is truth. And that word, sanctify, what does that word mean? You know, we can make it very complicated, but it just means that to grow spiritually mature. Okay, to grow spiritually, and simply what it means is to be made more like Christ, right? To be made more like Christ. Now, how are you sanctified? Okay, how are you made more like Christ? How is there transformation in your life so that you become more and more like Christ? Jesus says, truth, okay? By God's truth. And the more you incorporate God's word into your life, the more you're going to be transformed and made new. God uses scripture. God uses the Bible to help you reset your life. Making a change requires a Christian to know God's word. Scripture is the manual for resetting your life. And when you decide that you don't like the way you're living, you want to do the right thing, you want to change for the better, you need to go to God's word. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, what it says, scripture will teach us, scripture teaches us, show us what is true, right? Shows us what is wrong in our lives, it corrects, it prepares and equips us to do every good works. So what it's saying is the Bible shows you the path to walk on, because in this world there's many different paths that you could go, but the Bible shows you the path to walk on. It shows you where you got off the path to, and because this happens to all of us when we get off the path, and it shows you how to get back on the path, and it shows you how to stay on the path. So in his word, God has given you everything you need to make changes and than to stay on God's path for your life. And this is the reason it's so important. Right? This is so important because we say, Bible is important, right? But if it's important, we got to study it. We got to meditate on it. We got to memorize it. We got to pray through the scripture. And we got to put it into practice. If you're going to change, then you got to face the truth. And where is the truth? It's in God's word. It's scripture. And the Bible is a mirror that will reflect the good, the bad, and those areas that we need to change. And again, Jesus says, the Bible is the truth. Okay, scripture is the truth. And scripture has guided God's people throughout human history, through wars, through changes in kings, rulers and changes in empire. Right? And so the first point that I want to give is love the truth. Say that to your neighbor, love the truth. Right? And turn to, well, look up Psalm 119. Verse 97 to, you know, for so many years as a pastor, I would say turn to, so it's such a habit, but times have changed, you know, turn on your phone or look up, you know, and Psalms 119, verse 97 to 104, this is what the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law, okay? Oh, how I love the scripture. Okay, and when you love something, this happens. I meditate on it all day long. Okay? Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statute. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precept. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. Right? How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precept. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. And God's people said. Now, here's the thing. Loving the Bible. Right? It's about loving the Bible. And this person really loves the Bible. I meditate on it all day long. And he says about the Bible, okay? Not how boring is it. No, he says, how sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, theology must be more than information. Okay? Must be more than information, more than theory, more than debate. You know, so, you know, that's the problem with seminarians. When I was in seminary, that's all it was, the Bible, debate, argue, who's right, who's wrong. No, you have to love the Bible. Theology needs to be personal. Say that to your neighbor. Theology needs to be personal. Okay? See, you have to love truth. You have to love the Bible. And when you love something, okay, The thing you love impacts your life. When you love the Bible, it speaks to your heart. It's not just, I love the Bible, so, you know, I see what you're doing wrong. No, it's personal. It speaks to your heart. When you love the Bible, you know, you could overcome the voice of fear. You could overcome the voice of bitterness. You can overcome the lies, the bondage, the condemnation, and the accusation. But here's the problem, okay? We know the Bible because somebody told us what the Bible says. You know, we never open the Bible. We never open the Bible app. Believers really not studying and reading the Bible. They're not meditating on the scripture or memorizing the scripture. They're not putting their faith in the Bible. They're not practicing it, and they're not living it. Most of it is, oh, I heard somebody said this is in the Bible. No, you have to make it personal. Okay? You have to love it. Not somebody else loves it and tells you about it. You have to love the Bible. And so the problem is believers don't know how to handle the Word of God. We say we love our family, right? You say, you know, if you're married, I love my spouse. Okay, if you have a child, I love my child. I love my children. I love my parents, right? But if you never spend time with your family, you don't invest in the relationship, you are always too busy, you're never there for them, do you really love your family? That's the question I throw out to you. Do you really love the family? If you love the truth, if you love scripture, you spend time getting to know and understand it. You spend hours learning about it. And when you love something, this is what, you know, what love means. Time flies by. Hello? Okay? You could spend hours in the Word and time flies by. You study it, you talk about it, and you want to know everything about it. That's loving the Bible. Amen? Point number two, choose the truth. Say that to your neighbor. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 36 to 37. Okay. And this is what the psalmist says. Because there's many paths that you could go, but you need to make this choice. Turn my heart toward your statue and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Now, throughout the day, you're going to hear many different voices. You know, you're going to hear your own thoughts, voice of your own thoughts. Your emotion also speaks. Different people have different opinions. The world has its voice. The devil has a voice. The circumstances has a voice. And with so many different voices, it can be very confusing. In this world, it is easy to become unstable. In this world, it is easy to become the person described in James 1. It says a person who's like the wave of the sea. You go to the ocean, you see the wave, you're like that wave, blown and tossed by the wind, double-minded, unstable in all they do. In this world, we need an anchor. Okay? And the Bible is our anchor. Say that to your neighbor. The Bible is our anchor. Now, so choose the voice of biblical truth in the sea of other voices. Over your feelings, your thoughts, the circumstances, over worldly theology, over popular polls and opinions, definitely over any heresies. For example, like we all hear this voice, the voice of failure, okay? The voice of failure. Your theology must speak into your heart more than the accusation you are encountering. Someone criticizes you. You feel depressed. You're going through a spiritual attack. You didn't have a good day. You didn't get enough sleep. You're tired. And you will hear the voice of failure. The voice of failure will make you hopeless, will make you want to give up, want to rebel, want to run away. This is where you have to choose biblical truth over the voice of failure. Yeah. I am established with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. See, the sea is tossing and turning. Instead of calling your friend and venting and complaining, instead of just playing hours of video or watching hours of Netflix, you have to make a choice. Listen to the condemnation and accusation, or listen to Scripture. God forgives me, and God continues to forgive me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't have to listen to condemnation because of Jesus. I have new life in Christ. See, our spiritual maturity depends on how we tackle problems and setbacks. Our spiritual maturity is a byproduct of a solid belief system. If circumstances is true to you, you'll go up and down. God will not be able to redeem your life because it's through the truth that God sanctifies you. If biblical truth is what is true to you, despite the circumstances, God will redeem your failure. You will change. You will grow. You will become more spiritually mature. Amen? Point number three, change by the truth. Okay? Growing up, like in my childhood church, the Bible put more bondage in my life. It did. You know why? Because they used the Bible to judge, they used the Bible for legalism. That you use the Bible for religious spirit. Right? No. The Bible is there to change my life, change by the truth. And here's what the Bible says about itself in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active. Right? It's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart. Right? Scripture penetrates. This is what the Bible says. It penetrates to your soul, to your spirit. Scripture judges your thoughts and heart. And here's the thing. When I became a Christian, you know, and this is what I was concerned about when I first became a Christian and I was in high school. I was a senior in high school. And, you know, what was I concerned about when it came to the will of God? God! You know, what college do you want me to go? That was my major, you know, thing about knowing God's will. What college as a high school student? What college, God? Right? Then I went to college. And in college, this was my major thing that I wanted to know the will of God. What major, God? You know, what major do you want me to take? And then, you know, as a single person in college, you know, there was then the next big, you know, thing to seek the will of God was, God, I'm single. Who do you want me to marry? Okay. Who is it, God? Show me. Give me a sign, you know. Give me a sign. Who do you want me to marry? Then, you know, graduating from college, then another huge topic for the will of God is, God, what job? What job do you want me to take? And I just want to say those things are important. Right? Those things are important. And I believe God will guide you and direct you. But more important, okay, I could say this with confidence because this is scripture. But more important, and what is more important to God, is what's going on inside of you. Okay? The Pharisees who studied the Bible, the Word of God, they cared about cleaning the outside of the cup. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisee. But Jesus told them, God who made, in Luke chapter 11, God who made the inside and the outside of the cup cares about what is inside of the cup. That's what he cares about, what's inside of the cup. And I'm going to share with you how God, the Word of God sanctifies me. I think that the reason I'm sharing this, I think it will help you. It will help you. This is how the Word of God sanctifies me. A couple of weeks ago, something happened. My daughter, Sage, asked me to pick her up, and she asked, can you drop off my friend at her house? And I said, sure. What? So I picked Sage up and her friend, and while driving her friend to her home, she, in my opinion, she was not that friendly. That's my opinion. She's just quiet and she's not that friendly. And you know, I'm giving her a ride. I'm trying to talk to her. She's not really responding, right? And I get to her, the friend's house, right? And she mumbles something, you know? And then she gets out of the car. She slams the door, right? And she walks away, right? That happened. She slams the door and walks away. And just this anger rose in my heart. This anger. I'm just being honest. This anger rose in my heart. And I'm thinking, I'll never drive her. If I have to pick up Sage's friend, she's there. I'm gonna leave her there. You know, just take everybody else. And I was just angry, right? And as I'm driving home, you know, I was thinking, why am I so angry? It's a little child. You know, why am I so angry? And so I asked the Holy Spirit, what's going on? What's going on inside of me? And this is the conviction from the Holy Spirit. There's something else going on in your heart. Huh? That's what the Holy Spirit convicted me. There's something else going on in your heart. And so I spent some time with the Holy Spirit, and this is what he showed me, that I'm still holding on to offense from people in the past. There's still this residue. There's still this. And it's very specific, people that I helped out, people I gave to, people that I believed in, people that I supported. And something happened in the relationship and they just twist things around and they hurt me, they blame me, and they said terrible things about me, right? And, oh, it's deeper than I thought, you know? I thought it was just this girl, unfriendly girl, you know, that I dropped off. And God was highlighting something that was going in my heart, and it was much deeper. And so I spent time with the Lord, you know, seeking healing and freedom. And this is what usually happens. That's when the Word of God starts to sanctify me. Okay? Again, I love the Word of God, and I love the Word of God for many, many years. And I choose the Word of God. And I've been doing this for many, many years. And so, you know, God, I have a lot of Bible verses in my head and my heart. A lot of seeds are already planted in my heart. Right? And the Word of God spoke to me about anger. You know, Proverbs 29. Anger causes trouble. It will make you sin. Proverbs 15. Causes argument. Proverbs 14. You're a fool if you have uncontrollable anger. You're foolish. Right? And help me. Okay? And then the Word of God about people in the past who took advantage of me. That's, you know. And the Word of God spoke to me. Luke chapter 6. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind. This is God. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And I'm crying. I'm just crying and repenting. And then the Holy Spirit brought to mind an example in Scripture. Do you remember Joseph and his family? His brother didn't believe him, mocked him, abused him, and sold him to slavery. And when Joseph came to power, Joseph forgave and blessed his brother. The Holy Spirit continued to sanctify me through the Word. Sam, do you remember David and Saul? David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but instead, he protects Saul and blesses Saul. Sam, think about Jesus. Many left him. His own hometown rejected him. Synagogue, people in the synagogue and Jewish leader tried to destroy him. He faced criticism, gossip, lies. People misunderstood him and ultimately crucified him. And on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And the Word of God continues to sanctify me. Romans 12, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Matthew 6, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That scared me. That one scared me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, the reason the Word of God doesn't have power in some people's life, you're more concerned about outside of the cup, your image, material things, people's opinion, status, position, title, winning an argument. See, following the will of God, the focus is not having the right information so that you can make the right decision. The focus of the Word of God is a heart change. It's a focus on the inside. God sanctifies you and me through His Word. And this question, huh? You know, what's the best way to do the will of God? Right? Is it prophetic words? Is it dreams? Is it signs? No. Become more like Christ. And when you become more like Christ, you will naturally and automatically do the will of God. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship.